The end. That's what we're at. We're at the end. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I got a lot of territory to cover, so I'm going to keep on track and stick to my notes, not chase any rabbit trails. Yeah, it's a miracle if it happens. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." When a story is over, whether it's in book form or film form, frequently the words "the end" are printed or shown. Well, this is the last Wednesday of 2021. In two more days, it's the end of 2021. Oh, I watch TV, and on TV you hear a commentator say, "Oh, we're glad 2021's passed," okay, because the pandemic. Everything in people's minds is focused around the pandemic. There's a lot of people going to come through this. They won't know how to live because the only thing they can think about and focus on is the pandemic. The only End Times Herald paper, every day, it used to be in the upper left-hand corner or right-hand side of the front page. They give how many new deaths, how many new cases. Then one time they slipped up and they put it on a second or third page. But that's what they have to keep everybody all riled up over the pandemic. Hey, listen, we have several people that we know that are sick with it. We have several people we know, Pat and I personally, that died from it. You know, I'm not minimizing the problem that it is, but folks, don't live in death, live in life. The year is about over, and it is soon time to write the end of 2021. As you look back over the year through the pages of your memory, what review will you give to your year? The Apostle Paul, regarding his life's review, said, "I am now ready. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let's consider our life in four steps, using Paul's example. Step one, he says, "I am now ready." Personal responsibility for yourself, not for another. God does not hold you accountable for another, but he does hold us accountable for ourselves. Now, this doesn't relieve us from being a good example for others. Surely we need to be that. But the thing is, when we stand before God in the day of judgment, he's going to judge us for ourselves. Note the personal pronouns in these two verses. I am ready. I have fought. I have finished. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul is speaking personally, and that's something we need to remember. Well, the word "end" starts with the letter E. And you know, the letter E, what I've thought of on that is examine. We need to examine our life. Prove our life. Galatians 6:4 talks about proving our life. Galatians 6, verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Examine our life. Now ready, the Apostle Paul said. Not one of us knows when the end of our earthly life will take place. The certain fact about the uncertain time of death shouts at us, be prepared. Live right. Get this now. Live right each day. Some people only live right on Sundays, or only live right on Wednesdays. We're to live right each day. I am now ready. Can we say we're ready? Look at James, if you will, please. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, James says, go to now, ye that said today, say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. I heard it said one time, if you look at a bucket of water or a glass of water, you see that water, stick your finger in it and then pull it out and see what kind of mark it makes. You say, well, it wouldn't make any mark. That's pretty much our life. When it comes to life, we're going to come and go and pass, and there's only going to be a few people that are going to mourn for us. Many will at first, but they'll get over it quick, okay? They'll be going on with their life. And you can't live in the past, okay? There's a way in which that's quite normal. But James tells us here, you know not what. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say. In other words, don't say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I leave off from talking to somebody and they'll say, well, see you Wednesday night, Lord willing. My response is always, well, I hope he's willing because I'm getting ready. But wouldn't it be something if you and I had that kind of interaction and then you found out I dropped over from a heart attack? My goodness, you see, we don't know. You ought to say, Lord will. We shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't put off till tomorrow what God tells you to do today. That, the Bible says, is sin. Verse 14, we read it. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It isn't just a forgetfulness. It isn't just, well, I'll get to it another time. No, God says if I tell you do it now and you don't do it now, that is sin. S-I-N. Are we ready? How many unsaved people answer a gospel worker with a response like, not today. I'll do it another day. I heard that many times in witnessing to people. Well, Reverend, you know, I think what you're saying is so, but I'm not ready. When the grim reaper of death comes, when he comes a-calling, many, too many, will not be ready. And they'll perish in an eternal hell. But how about us Christians? Oh, we're saved. We have our ticket for heaven. But are you ready? Like the Apostle Paul talked. You know, being saved and going to heaven's one thing, but being ready to do it is an additional thing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, we ought to evaluate ourselves, because 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John's telling us there's going to be some Christians, I think a whole lot of them, that are not going to be ready, and they're going to be ashamed when they stand before Jesus Christ. But if I understand 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it's letting us know it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. We need to, you know, we're looking at the first letter of end. And what I'm saying is we need to evaluate our lives. This evaluation leads us to the second step of Paul's example. Step two is, I have fought a good fight. Christianity is not a spectator experience. It's a participator experience. And are we fighting? Oh, that's a terminology that doesn't go with today's weak kneed milk toast Christians. Okay, well, we don't want to come across as too negative. But we're in a fight, friends. The devil is out to defeat us. If we've been saved, the devil knows he can't have us. No matter what he does, he can't have us. But if he can defeat us in our Christian living, then he knows he can keep other people from coming to the Savior. And so we have a fight. Fight the good fight. It normally identifies how committed Paul was. Paul was not mediocre in his Christian living. He was engaged in a fight. I have fought a good fight. I want you to see an additional emphasis, if you will, please. It was a good fight in that it was a worthwhile fight. It's worthwhile us to live for Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd. And that means they're more committed, more dedicated than some other Christians. All right? And then we also have a Thursday night crowd. Okay? Now, I know over the holiday season there's no Thursday night Bible study, but when there is, then you see there's another level of commitment and dedication. Now, listen. I understand that not everybody who doesn't go on Thursday night is not uncommitted or undedicated. All right? I don't go Thursday night. Okay? Until I quit the library, I was glad to be able to get through any day, let alone like a Wednesday, okay? Oh, boy, did I struggle coming out tonight. Oh, man, falling asleep. And I opened the windows 2-3 different times. I talked to myself and I talked to the Lord. And here I am, though. I don't sound sleepy now, do I? I hope I don't wear myself out to go home, all right? I want you to see an additional emphasis. It was a good fight in that it was a worthwhile fight, worthy of the apostles' efforts. Too often Christians engage in trivial fights, expending energy senselessly, arguing about things that they can't resolve anyway. Now, that I don't mean that you shouldn't have an interest in certain subjects and you shouldn't have an opinion on certain subjects. I'm not saying that we need to all lockstep with one view. But why do we need to fuss and fight with each other because somebody thinks different on a subject? Boy, the devil likes that sort of thing. Because if he keeps us fighting with each other, then he can keep us from fighting the devil. Now, the word end has an N in it also. And I think of neglect when I think of the word N or the letter N. And we must not neglect our part in this battle against unrighteousness. Are we fighting sin? In our own personal life, what is it that is not right, that we struggle with? Pastor has often referred to when I first got saved, I had trouble with a dirty mouth and swearing, cuss words, okay? That I struggled with for a long time. Now, there's other things that I still struggle with, but I'm here to tell you there's a lot of things that I struggled with that I got victory in, okay? And that's what I want to focus my life on. Okay, and those things that still need to get victory in, God will give me the grace. But I cannot simply say, oh, well, I cannot neglect doing right. And then N also can stand for nurture. And this is what one needs to do in order to be a participator Christian, not a spectator. We've got to nurture ourselves. We've got to build our faith in God's word. In God's ways. Don't be, another N word, a nominal Christian. We have too many people that are nominal Christians. They're not really bad. They don't get scratch cards. They don't go to the casinos, okay? And they don't watch, well, I don't know, what's the bad movies now? It used to be R-rated. Now you see them all the time. X-rated. I guess they're still bad, aren't they? And so they don't watch X-rated movies. And they don't go to the bar and sit at the stool and have a beer with buddies. Oh, they don't do that anymore. And that's good that they don't do that. But we have, nevertheless, people that are nominal Christians. Neither do they tell other people about Jesus Christ. Neither do they take gospel tracts and hand them out. Neither do they spend any time in prayer and Bible reading. Oh, occasionally they get to it enough, okay, to not have a problem. So when a preacher preaches on it, they don't have complete guilt because they do read their Bible some. And that's the part that they look at, you see. We got an evangelist coming in. And when Brother McVeigh's coming, okay, oh boy, I better start reading my Bible more. Because when he hits on that, I want to be able to not feel too guilty about it. And boy, I better do more praying. Pastor's in a series of messages on prayer, and I need to do more praying so when he preaches on that, I don't have to feel too guilty about it. Uh-huh. You see, you think people feel that way? I know some do. Well, I know some do. You say, how do you know that? Because I am some. I know how that works. Like I like to tell people, this is not my first ball game. I've been around long enough to know how people think, and it's what's keeping the church weak and anemic. We don't have the power we ought to have. Now listen, we're Baptists, and I'm proud of being a Baptist. Well, no, I'm not supposed to be proud. I'm pleased at being a Baptist. But I know some Pentecostals that have more commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have more enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus Christ than I do some Baptists. Now, I'm not endorsing Pentecostal practices, but I am endorsing their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and their enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. All the while that we who claim to be the right ones, you know what's going to happen? We're all going to get to heaven and find out that it does not matter what was over the door by way of a name. What's going to matter is what was in the heart by way of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to stand for Baptist distinctives, because I believe they best exemplify the teachings of the scriptures and the way that we ought to be functioning as a church. But I'm not going to spend my time focused on how good we are and find out that we aren't that good because we're too inbred and realize that there's some out there with other names that love the Lord more than what I may love the Lord. Amen. Step 3, Paul says, I have finished my course. Here again, it's a personal matter. He says, my course. Paul finished his life's purpose, what God expected of him. Blinders might help. You know, in some horse races, blinders are used to keep a touchy horse from being distracted, keeps a horse that is skittish from being frightened. And sometimes it might be good if we as an individual wore blinders so that we would keep ourselves focused on what God wants us to be focused on. How is our course? We're coming to the end of 2021. Have we finished our God-intended purpose, or will his purpose be incomplete? Look at Jesus' testimony in the Gospel of John. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what God wants from us, to finish his work. Chapter 17, same book, John, chapter 17. In chapter 17 and verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth, Jesus talking to the Father. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, now he's on the cross, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus knew what God wanted of him and he did it. Amen. And if you have a Bible and you've been reading it, then you know what God expects of you. You know what God wants from us as Christians. And that's the course. So many people think, well, the will of God. Well, you know, a missionary has a will, and a pastor, that's God's will for him. And I've heard Sunday school teachers say that they know that that's God's will for them to teach those boys and girls. And God, but I don't know what God's will is for me. Look, it's in the Bible. You see, he's going to tell me to be a Sunday school teacher? Yes. No, he's going to tell you how to live. And then when he has you, then he'll show you that detail is that you're looking for. Listen, you don't get the detail and then do the other. You live for Jesus Christ and serve him and do what's right. You're a godly mother. You're a godly wife. You're a godly parent. Your godly brother and sister. Brother Dale here. Been praying for his brother Dan. Had a hip replacement. Was it hip? Okay. Yep, yes, sometimes I get mixed up with knees. You know, hips and knees are close together. No, they replace knees. And so a hip. And I've been praying for him. And I asked Dale, how's he doing? He's out riding bicycle. That's amazing. But you know what's more amazing? Dale cares about his brother. Dale carries a burden for his brother. Dale and his brother have been through a lot in their childhood and days of youth. And Dale, when he got right with God, he took up a different view of his brother. Now, it doesn't mean that Dale approved. So many people get so screwed up in their thinking. That doesn't mean Dale approves the way he's living. No, what it does mean is Dale now knows why the way he's living is not good for him. But because his brother doesn't respond the first and second and third time he talked to him, he didn't give up on his brother. We are impatient. We'll talk to somebody about the Lord, and when they don't respond the way you hear somebody give a testimony, listen, you serve God the way God wants you to serve. Don't serve God according to the testimony that you heard somebody else give. Realize that the testimony somebody else gives shows you what God can do. But don't you try and you know, you go out and you witness because you heard a message and you were burdened, and so you went out and witnessed, but you didn't have the same reaction as the guy you heard talk about witnessing. So now you're discouraged, and you give up. That's because what you're trying to do is imitate somebody else. You're not trying to obey what God says about telling people of Jesus. Right. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, he's everything. Right. And so the Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. Paul's testimony is in Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and 24. But none of these things move me. Paul was not going to be distracted. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course. What I want, my comforts, my desires, that's not what's important. What's important is what God wants, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. Paul says, I finished my course. Some of us don't live for Him the way we ought to live for Him because there's things we want. We have desires, and it isn't our desires that count. It's God's desire. Now, the wonderful thing about it is when you put Jesus first, okay? When you put Jesus first, then all these things will be added unto you. But when you live to get this, when you live to have that, when you live to be able to understand this and to have this kind of response from people, you aren't going to get it. You aren't going to get it. But when you live for Jesus and you forget those things, you know what Jesus is going to do? Because He knows your heart. And what Jesus is going to do in many cases, when He knows it's not harmful to you, He's going to give you those things. He'll take care of you. We walk by faith, not by what we can see. Step four, the Apostle Paul says, I have kept the faith. Paul reached the end, and looking back, he could say, I did it. He said, I've kept the faith. And we should not be surprised, for this is the same man who, in writing to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just get out of the way and let Jesus Christ take care of it. I know that many a time in counseling a husband-wife relationship, and she wants this and she wants that. And what I've said to him already, you know what you need to do, lady. It's usually called their name. What you need to do is just get down on your knees and pray and get out of the way so God can deal with him. But so many times God wants to deal with a husband. God wants to deal with that man. But the wife, she keeps getting up in between God and what he wants to do. Because she knows this and she wants that. And she yammers this and she yammers that. It's better to live in a housetop alone than it is with the kind of woman that's going to do that. Being an apostle did not make it easier for Paul. You say, well, Paul was such a great man. Listen, if anything, being an apostle made it harder. Because people looked at him. People expected of him. And therefore, he had added pressures because of who he was. Paul was not a deserter, a slasher, or a coward. When Demas left, he stood faithful. When the error stormed the region of Galatia. See, the letter to the Galatians is not one city. It's a whole region. And when error came through that, false teaching came through that, Paul preached the faith. When Philetus and Hymenaeus preached falsehood, Paul preached the truth. He again preached the faith. Now you listen to this. Don't get lost here in the next Bible example I'm giving to you. You'll understand why I say that. Just listen to me. John Mark is another example. He was an example of one who did not finish the course. I'm so glad that his story that's included in scriptures is not because of failure, but because of his success.
Amen.
John Mark is listed in the scriptures because he determined to do right.
That's right.
He started out wrong. He got weak, and therefore he left. And later, when Barnabas wanted to bring him along, Paul didn't want him to come along because of that experience. But then we read how Paul says, and bring John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. He's starting out strong's good, but let me tell you something. Finishing strong is better.
Good.
It's easy to start out strong in enthusiasm of newness.
Right, brother.
Let the battle go on and on, let life go on and on. John Mark changed his mind and his actions. That means repentance. And he had what we call sometimes rededication. And the D word, okay, the word end has D as the last letter, and it represents the need for determination, and that's what John Mark had. He was determined. He wasn't going to live in his failure. He was going to live where God wanted him to live. Do we have that kind of determination? And this is where dedication becomes involved. When a believer like Paul is dedicated to a purpose, living to please God, he or she will continue and complete what they've started. As you look back over 2021, where are you? Are things any better, any different than we were at this point, the beginning of 2021? If you say, no, they're really not much better. Well, if you don't make some determination, you're going to have another year of failure.
Come on.
You say, what do you mean failure? Well, you told me nothing's different from the beginning to the end of it. I'd call that failure. God wants us to succeed. Are you like Paul, finishing the keeping of the course? Or are you like John Mark? What stage of John Mark's life are you in? Are you in the first stage of leaving Christian living? Or are you in the second stage of returning? That's the stage you can be in, and God wants you to be in. And like the prodigal son's father, he was standing, waiting for him to come back. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, and you know that you're not living the way God wants you to live, the Father is waiting. But you have got to determine to return. Father in heaven, I pray that as we come to the end of 2021, that we'll consider indeed the example to us of the Apostle Paul, and yes, the good example to us of John Mark. Two men, different in their approach, but they ended up in the same way because they each had a determination to do what's right for Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name.